तोत्रवेत्रय कपाणय ज्ञान मुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम बैक टू द भगवद्गीता भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स। नाउ वी आर इन द लास्ट पार्ट ऑफ द 13th चैप्टर। 13th चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड नेचर द एंजॉयर एंड कॉन्शियसनेस। सो वी डिस्कस्ड हाउ द चैप्टर ओवरव्यू इज। लेट्स हैव अ क्विक लुक एट दैट। बेस्ड ऑन दैट वी विल अंडरस्टैंड what is happening in the chapter. So Arjuna has asked questions about six things: Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Purusha, Prakriti, and Jnana and Gyeya. So Krishna has answered about all these six till now. The last section discussed about Purusha and Prakriti. And now Krishna will give us an integrated worldview, a Jnana Chakshu, in which he will explain how all of this fits together. So that is verses 27 to 35. So let's look at these verses. So this is not directly related with any specific question that Arjuna has asked to Krishna, but this is a bonus which Krishna is giving as a further integrated view of what of the concepts that Krishna has taught or talked till now, especially in this chapter. So 13.27, Yavat Sanjayate Kinchit Sattvam Sthavar Jangamam क्षेत्र क्षेत्र संयोगाद तद्विद्धि भरतर्षभा। तद्विद्धि इज कॉमनली यूज बाय कृष्णा। नो दिस। सो व्हाट इज व्हाट इज दिस दैट भरतर्षभा, द बेस्ट ऑफ द भरतर्ष शुड नो। यावत संजायते, व्हाट एवर एग्जिस्ट। संजायते कम्स इन टू बीइंग और एग्जिस्ट, कम्स इन टू एग्जिस्टेंस। संजायते किंचित, इवन द स्मॉलेस्ट ऑफ इट। सत्वम स्थावर जंगमम, That may be sattvam, that in the existence which may be moving or non-moving. Kshetra kshetrajna sanyogat, it all comes by the contact of the kshetra and the kshetrajna. The contact of the knower of the field and the field itself. So what is Krishna doing in this chapter, in this particular verse? Essentially he is telling that the variety of this world can be reduced down to fundamentals, and that capacity to reduce the diversity to fundamentals, that helps us to develop a more enlightened view. So ultimately, whatever we see in this world, if I see a beautiful painting, it is a combination of kshetra and kshetrajna. That there is color, there is paints, there is canvas, and all that is a part of the kshetra. And then there is a painter, that's the kshetrajna. And the combination of kshetra and kshetrajna has produced the painting. So like that, if there is a big building is also a combination of kshetra and kshetrajna. So this is a philosophical vision. In general, jnana chakshu is that which enables us to see things more deeply, more seriously, more lovingly. How lovingly? Ultimately, when we see Krishna, then we see things lovingly. But before that, we see them more dispassionately. We, with respect to material things, we want to become detached. And with respect to spiritual things, we want to become attached. But when we look at this world, we don't want to be infatuated with this world. And that's why we talk about detachment in terms of seeing with jnana chakshu. So when we see, oh, so many things are captivating, but ultimately it's nothing but kshetra and kshetrajna, that combination, then we don't get so worked up by these things. So we are now beyond this, the kshetra and kshetrajna, there is of course ultimately the supreme kshetrajna, and that will come a little later. The supreme kshetrajna is the Ishvara, who is the control of everything. So Krishna, first he describes in 27th, okay, see all of creation as just made up of, all of existence made up of kshetra and kshetrajna. Now what should, once I understand this, what is the result of that? That brings equal vision. So that is talked about in this verse, and in the next verse the result of that equal vision is talked about. So let's look at this verse now. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishthantam parameshwaram vinashyatsva vinashyantam yah pashyati sa pashyati. So samam sarveshu bhuteshu, samam is equally. sarvesha bhuteshu, one who sees all living beings equally, tishtantam parameshwaram, one sees the Parameshwara, the Ishwara who is Parama. So the Acharyas have explained what is being referred to here in different ways. So here Prabhupada explains that this can refer to Parameshwara, can refer to the Supreme Lord, and it can also refer to the Jiva. Now Parameshwara as referring to the Supreme Lord is easily understandable. He is the Supreme Ishwara. Often the word Parameshwara is used that way. How can it refer to the Jiva? The Ishwara who is Parama. The word Parama doesn't necessarily have to mean supreme. The word Parama can also mean transcendental. So, just like Para and Apara Prakriti, Para doesn't necessarily have to mean supreme. It simply means transcendental. So, Parameshwara. Parameshwara means that Ishwara who is transcendental, who is not actually material, although maybe currently in material consciousness. So, Samam Sarveshu Bhuteshu. And we see all living beings. And then what do we see them? Tishthantam Parameshwaram. One sees that the transcendental Lord is situated in the hearts of all living beings. And one sees they themselves are actually transcendental. And what is the specific relevance of this with respect to the context of Arjuna and Krishna being on the battlefield? Vinashyatsva Avinashyantam. Vinashyatsva. Vinashyatsva is destructible. What is destructible? The body is destructible. Arjuna was concerned that what will happen to my elders, especially Drona and Bhishma? How can I possibly kill them? He's telling, actually you should be able to see that they are not the bodies. They are the souls. Vinashyatsva Avinashyantam. That although they are in perishable bodies, they themselves are imperishable. And yah pashyati sapashyati, one who sees like this is the true seer. Krishna has used this phrase yah pashyati sapashyati, this line, several times in the Bhagavad Gita as well as it comes in the Mahabharata. In the Bhagavad Gita, this has come in the 5th chapter. Yat sankhyai prapyate sthanam tad yogair api gamyate ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha yah pashyati sa pashyati. In 5.5 describes how one should see the true the commonality in the paths of yoga and sankhya as both being meant for the same ultimate purpose of attaining the absolute truth. So one who sees like this, one who sees beyond superficial differences to the common goals, then that such a person is actually the seer. Yah pashyati sapashyati. So similarly here, that means when Krishna says yah pashyati sapashyati, the idea is what? That this is how we should try to see. You know, we all want to be enlightened, we all want to have proper understanding and proper knowledge. We have that knowledge, then this is how we should see. Yah pashyati sapashyati. So samam sarveshu bhuteshu. So actually, one of the great results of acquiring knowledge is the capacity to go beyond superficial biases, prejudices, and emotionally induced misconceptions. So, if we start seeing that all people are, I am Indian. So, you know, people make blanket statements. You know, I am an Indian, that person is Pakistani, all Pakistanis are terrorists. Or some people say that, oh, these people are Muslims, Muslims are terrorists. Or there are so many people which equate certain people with certain characteristics. Now, for example, some people may say that Sardarius, they are all foolish people. Now, and people make jokes like that. Now, this is all characteristic of bodily misconception. You know, every soul, whichever be the community, whichever be the race, whichever be the gender in which the person is born, ultimately that person is a soul. And of course, there are differences at the body level, and we don't deny those differences. There may be certain cultural and sociological differences which come because of the body, and accordingly we'll have to deal in an appropriate way with them. But we also have to see the commonality. So this sort of superficial differences which can divide nations. Sometimes, you know, there are dynastic feuds. long ago, in some, there are two opposing families. In one family, maybe somebody has killed another family person, somebody else's family. And the sons, they become enemies. And then the grandsons become enemies, and the great grandsons become enemies. And it's continued to be fighting generation after generation, hurting each other. Anyway, the original feud is utterly irrelevant. So all this is based on bodily conceptions. And you know, let the dead past bury its dead. So now we all will talk like this and we will laugh. Ah, yeah, yeah, these are simple bodily conceptions. But then we have within our devotee circle also our own discriminations. You know, we say, oh, this is my guru's disciple. Is that another guru's disciple? Now we may say, is the guru designation material or is it spiritual? You know, our relationship with our spiritual master is spiritual, but we have to check how much is our consciousness spiritual. You know, am I talking about my guru is so that I can gain more pride? You know, because my guru is great, so therefore I am great. So actually, the idea is I want to be great, so I use my guru's greatness to try to prove my greatness. So we can have a God family around our spiritual master, but the most important point is to recognize that this sort of division should be for creating greater cohesion. It should not be for creating dissension. What does it mean? That means that, you know, when there are Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, depending on how one views it, there one can say there is so much discrimination, and then certainly so much dissension, so much power struggles. The lower castes have rebelled against the upper castes exploit the lower castes, and there are so many wars which have happened. But the original purpose of the Varanashram was to provide a social arrangement which would provide like a extended family. So from the functional point of view, within the Varanas there were jatis. So within Brahmanas also there are different kinds of Brahmanas, different levels of Brahmanas, and these Brahmanas would be like an extended family. So belonging to a particular community brings a sense of a bigger family, by which there is greater cohesion and there is greater connection and caring, then that is positive. But if that leads to dissension, if my community is defining identity should be as devotees, if I am a devotee, my defining identity should be my connection with Krishna. If my defining identity is in contradistinction to others, you know, what does it mean, say I am a Hindu, and what is the defining identity of a Hindu? Hindu is one who opposes the Muslims. That is a very foolish understanding of Hinduism. Or who is a Muslim? A Muslim is one who, you know, kills the kafirs. And that is a very superficial understanding. So, you know, our identity, we may create certain identities within a spiritual community also. For example, some people say that, my spiritual master is an Indian guru and your spiritual master is not an Indian guru. This is a foolish idea. The guru is transcendental. The guru is not a guru, and the guru is teaching us. Guru, now we may have our doubts or our faith about how transcendental my spiritual master is, but the point is the transcendence of the spiritual master is based on the transcendental connection with the transcendental parampara and the transcendental message that is being delivered. So the sort of ideas are dushtai svabhava janitair. We discussed in the Upadeshamrita how this is very superficial material vision and this can be offensive. Gangambasam khalvadbuddha feena pankair. That just as there are bubbles and there is dirt in Ganga, but one still knows that the Ganga is sacred. Similarly, one understands that it is said that the pure devotee, the advanced devotees, their transcendence is not affected by any material, superficial difficulties or problems. So now, similarly, there might be an opposite inference that is done. If you want to just go, some people say that Prabhupada, in the first 11 people whom he appointed, there were no Indians. So Prabhupada did not want any Indian gurus. Yeah, we could just make any kinds of inferences we want. This sort of, Prabhupada never did this sort of quota system within ISKCON. You know, this is so we shouldn't, we may not do it, sometimes we may do it consciously, sometimes we may do it subconsciously. ultimately, what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling us? He's telling us, ye kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra ke nanai, ye Krishna tattva veta sei guru hai. Who is a guru? Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra ke nanai. That actually, it doesn't matter whether it's a sannyasi or a shudra, whether the person is a brahmana or whatever. If that person is knowing about Krishna, that person can be a spiritual master. So, just as we talk about spiritual masters, now similarly we have to talk about devotees also. We cannot have body-based distinctions. Now, definitely the body plays a role and it affects our people's behavior in certain ways. It affects people's attitudes in certain ways. And that is something which is natural. And we don't have to deny that or reject that. But that doesn't mean that we have to pigeonhole people and equate them with their designations. The whole process of spirituality is meant to help us come out of pigeonholes, not to go deeper into the pigeonholes. Certainly in a spiritual society we shouldn't designate people by equating them with their pigeonholes. Going further, when we look at the equal vision. The equal vision is primarily based on an understanding of spiritual knowledge, a deep understanding of spiritual knowledge. So, here of course in this section Krishna is talking from the jnana perspective. So, one sees that beyond matter is spirit. So, the first verse said, see that everything is, all of existence is matter and spirit. Then, see beyond matter is spirit, then you will have equal vision. The next verse describes what is the benefit of having this equal vision. So Prabhupada acknowledges that both these can be interpreted in different ways. The super sensitive soul, Parameshwar, is sometimes translated as individual soul, and then is sometimes there are others who interpret the super soul to be the interpret this Parameshwar to be super soul. So Prabhupada explains why is this the soul, because the soul is the master of the body. And the body acts at least partially according to the will of the soul. And then the soul also goes to another body. That body destroys, the soul not destroyed. In that sense, is the master. Now, the next verse, Krishna describes what is the effect of this. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavasthitam ishwaram nahi vastyatmanatmanam tato yati param gatim. So, samam pashyan hi sarvatra. In this way, one who sees everywhere equally. Samavasthitam ishwaram. One sees that the Ishwara is situated equally. Then nahinasti atmanatmanam nahinasti. Therefore there is no degradation, there is no pushing down, hina, lower, going downwards. Atmanatmanam, the mind does not degrade the self. And then not only does the mind does not degrade the self, tato yati param gatim, when one is not degraded in this way, one attains the supreme destination. Tato yati param gatim. What is this talking about? Generally, it is our material vision that causes problems. It is our material vision that makes us, say, hold grudges against others, that makes us create vendetta. It is actually material vision which leads to lust, anger, greed, envy, pride and illusion. And these cause the hinastya atmanatmanam. These cause the degradation of the soul. So, atmana atmanam. So, the soul is degraded by the mind. So, when there is no equal vision, then for example, we see different people. Oh, this person is wealthy, has so much money. I want to get that money. And this person is poor, useless person. So, and I neglect him, a disrespected person. Like that, material vision. And a man looks at a woman. Now, there are dharmic relationships between man and wife, but then a man looks at a woman, oh, this is attractive. And then a person takes up that, attacks that woman or whatever. So then develops an affair or whatever. Then there is lust, and that lust is acted upon. It is to karmic entanglement. So it all starts from the inability to see beyond matter to spirit. So nahinasti atmanatmanam nahinasti. One does not degrade oneself. How? Because one understands that actually samam sarveshu bhuteshu, sorry, samam, so previous verse was samam sarveshu bhuteshu, now it is here the focus is on vision and its effect on our destination. So samam, when one sees samam pashyan hi sarvatra, and what is samavasthitam ishwaram, now this is significant, samavasthitam ishwaram, the Ishwara is equally situated in all living beings. That means that the Ishwara is situated in my heart, situated in that person's heart, situated in everyone's heart. So when the son of Shramik Rishi, the Brahmin boy, Sringi, cursed Parikshit Maharaj. So at that time, Parikshit Maharaj, how did he see it? Samavasthitam Ishwaram. He says that actually it is this, by the Supreme Lord's will that I have been cursed. Now you may wonder, where is the Supreme Lord's will? There is the small joy boy is uncontrolled and he is giving in to his anger. So you know, it is his anartha and his anartha is overcoming him. So how is that related to the Lord acting? So we have to understand that, you know, the actions can work in different ways. So yes, Sringi might have been acting because of his own anger, but the Lord is so expert that the Lord can use somebody else's anger to elevate us, to instruct us. So, you know, how Yoga Maya and Mahamaya work is quite complex. So in the Bhagavatam is described, and where then Duryodhana verbally castigated Vidura, saying that, oh, you are a son of a Shudra, and you are a traitor, and you are biting the very hand that has eaten you. He spoke unrepeatable insults to Vidura. So it's described in the Bhagavatam, Vidura saw this as the action of the Yoga Maya to help him get disentangled from the nefarious affairs of the Kurus. Now we wonder, where is Yoga Maya over here? Duryodhana acting, and Duryodhana is filled with greed, is filled with envy, and is acting out of that greed and envy to hurt the Pandavas and to hurt everyone who are related with the Pandavas. So he is acting out of his own greed. That is true. But we have to understand that Duryodhana may be acting in Yoga Maya, in Mahamaya, but that does not mean that Vidura has to respond in Mahamaya. If Vidura sees the situation with spiritual vision, then Vidura can respond to it in Yoga Maya. And then he can see the situation also as an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So he can see that ultimately. Yes, Duryodhana is giving into his anarthas and speaking accordingly. But through it, I have the opportunity to go closer to Krishna. So he saw the opportunity that, let me just depart. So that I won't have to, he knew that sooner or later a war was going to happen between the Kauravas and Pandavas. And he certainly did not want to fight for the Kauravas, as he would have to because of his brotherly relationship with Dhritarashtra. Step brotherly, but still brotherly relationship. And so, and he actually didn't want the fight. And he knew that it was Duryodhana who was to be blamed for triggering trouble and tormenting and persecuting and humiliating the Pandavas. So he tried his best to give counsel to Duryodhana, but when Duryodhana did not listen, instead Duryodhana turned on him only and started insulting him, then Vidura left. So that means with a proper spiritual vision, you know, whatever happens, we will be able to see it as an opportunity for our progressive spiritual advancement. Now this devotional reinterpretation of events is vital for our spiritual advancement. You know, one of the greatest examples of such devotional reinterpretation is Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection. You know, Jesus he preached, but he practically did not, as far as we know, in terms of the biblical records. You know, he did not travel like too extensively. He traveled maybe 100, 200 miles, that's all. He did not go on extensive pilgrimages anywhere. And then, according in the unknown years, it is, some people may say that he has come to India, and there is some reasonable evidence for that. But the point is that he stayed in the limited area, and during his time, his followers were not many. And then one of his own followers, that were among the 12 apostles, Judas, betrayed him, and he was persecuted, and he was executed, he was crucified. It was a painful death for him, and it was a devastating defeat for his followers, because at that time the idea was that a Messiah who would come, the messenger who would come and deliver us, that messenger would come and would come on a horse with weapons and would devastate and destroy the enemies. And then the last moment his followers were expecting that Jesus would show some miracle and save himself, and Jesus was killed. And then it seemed that everything had ended at that time. But then it was a devotional reinterpretation. What was that? And then later on, of course, there are many events. There are several events that happened. There were some spottings of Jesus and whatever. But the important point is, after that, they understood that actually Jesus has ascended to heaven, and it has not been a defeat, it is a victory. And that's how we have been redeemed for our sins. So the end result of it was that they felt more devoted to Jesus, and they felt more inspired to share the message of his sacrifice and the message that he had given with the whole world. And that's how what could have ended as a small whimper, as an insignificant thing which would not even have been a footnote in most history books, went on to become the world's great, one of the world's longest religions, existing religions, and according to recent recorded history, and what is the most numerous religion in the world. So that is all reinterpretation. So now we wonder, is this a matter of just interpretation? What is the reality? You know, what is it actually that anybody can interpret reality in whichever way one wants? No, the point is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjunam. Events are going to happen in this world, and we may not always understand why they happen the way they do. But we as devotees always have the opportunity to see them in a way which is anukul to our bhakti, and see what can I do in this situation that can take me closer to Krishna. So that is the vision that a devotee should try to cultivate. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjunam. So this equal vision, of course, that we are talking about a different context, Jesus, but I am talking about the principle, nahi nasti atmanatmanam, that often we let small things become very big because we see them negatively. But when we see, ultimately the Ishwar is in control of everything. So no matter what happens, sometimes in the devotee community terrible things happen. You know, the temples and the communities where they're staying, they're demolished. Sometimes the devotees are accused as being a cult, and then there are charges made against them. Sometimes devotees are arrested. In former Soviet Union, devotees were even tortured. So all this is happening, and sometimes it happens. So how do we see this? We understand that ultimately the Supreme Lord is in control. Samavistitam Ishwaram. Everywhere he's equally situated and he's equally in control. So he may allow certain things have to happen, and that may be because of the greed and the arrogance and the lust of certain people. But along with that, there is also the opportunity for us to go deeper in our relationship with Krishna in all situations. And it is to the extent we have this positive perception of reality, therefore tato yati param gatim, we'll be able to be Krishna conscious, we'll be able to be conscious. Yes, ultimately this is also an opportunity for me to serve. And if I serve in this way, param gatim, I will attain the supreme destination. As devotees, we should always strive. How can I understand situations anukul for my bhakti? And to the extent we pray for this, to that extent we will get that vision. And the more we get that vision, the more we will make spiritual advancement. Now, Srila Prabhupada writes that one does not degrade himself by a destructive mentality, and therefore he gradually advances to the spiritual world. So in our spiritual path, Prabhupada, this is interesting word, destructive mentality. Destructive mentality means that one doesn't act in a way that becomes self-defeating, that destroys ourselves. And instead one acts in a way by which one becomes purified, elevated and liberated. So we are going on a proper path which will ultimately take us to destination. All that we don't have to do, all of us especially, have got that path by Krishna's mercy, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Now all that we need to do is to move along that path. If we just take a U-turn or we just go off the road and fall off, then it is we who are to be blamed, and it is our mind which makes us do those things. But if we stay steady, the mind will not be able to do those things, and we will be able to move on in our spiritual life. Let's look at the next verse.
Prakritya cha karmani kriyamanani sarvashah yah pashyati tatmanam akartaram sa pashyati. So prakritya cha karmani,
that prakriti, it is the activities of the karma that is performed by prakriti. Kriyamanani sarvashah, everything that has happened, that is happening, is kriyamanani. How is it happening? It's happening because of prakriti. And then yah pashyati tatha atmanam, one who sees it this way, atmanam akartaram, that the atma is not the doer, sa pashyati. So here the phrase yah pashyati sa pashyati, that was used 2 verses ago in 28, is used again. But here it has been split over 2 lines. So in 28 it was yah pashyati sa pashyati, straight. But here is yah pashyati tha atmanam akartaram sa pashyati. It's split over C and D of the 30th verse. But essentially the message is same, that this is how we should see. So how should we see? That actually it is material nature that is the doer of things, and the soul is the non-doer. So this is actually the exact opposite of the 3.27, the more famous verse, which says that prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Actually everything is done by prakriti. And ahankar vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. Because of ahankar, the deluded soul, the vimudhatma, says that actually I think that I am the doer. So that is the vimudhatma, the deluded soul. But here Krishna is talking about the person who is enlightened, one who is able to see things properly. So that so the deluded soul sees that actually doesn't see that things are done by the mode and thinks I am the doer. Whereas here the person sees that, oh, actually it is the Lord who is the doer. I am not the doer, it is material nature that is doer. So why material nature, why not the Lord? Actually, till now, one has not yet got a clear conception of how the Lord interacts with material nature. Krishna is talking about a jnani whose conception is evolving. And the jnanis, their vision moves from matter towards the spirit, and they see that matter is primarily acting by its own patterns. And of course, Krishna has talked from the perspective of bhakti, maya adhyakshena prakriti, that ultimately all the movements of prakriti happen under his supervision. That's definitely true, 9.10. But here in 13.30, the emphasis of Krishna's message is that the jnanis do not necessarily become, their focus is not so much on becoming God conscious, and certainly not conscious of God as a controller of the world. Their focus is basically to go beyond this world entirely and think about transcendental spirit. So therefore, for them, yes, actually, they see this material nature is just working on its own patterns. Therefore, there's no need for me to become attached or captivated and ultimately deluded by it. So that means a person may sing very beautifully, a person may be able to talk very eloquently, a person may be able to manage very efficiently, a person may have extraordinary looks and a grace and poise and elegance while, say, walking along. So there are so many different ways in which different people can attract. Now we understand that these features are coming ultimately because of prakriti. Those people have done certain karma, and based on that karma they learn to behave in certain ways. Now of course, we are not saying that this entirely comes by karma. Certainly people can cultivate certain things. The point here is not to deny the effort that is made by the particular person. Say somebody is a very good speaker and can speak eloquently. That is also because that person has practiced speaking in this life and is habituated to long hours of endeavor so that the speech is proper. So that where there is endeavor, the credit should definitely be given. But the point is ultimately, recognize that no matter how sweetly a person sings, we cannot, no human being can sing as sweetly as a nightingale can sing. You know, no matter how good athlete a human being becomes, right, winning the setting an all-time record, say in a 100-meter sprint, but how many of us can become as fast, as steadily, lifelong as does a leopard or a cheetah or for that matter a deer or whatever. So we may develop certain features, but the point we are talking about is generic features over here. Now why is it that an eagle's eyes or a hawk's eyes have piercing vision and our eyes do not have so much piercing vision? All this is because prakritevacha karmani kriyamanani sarvashah, that all these attributes are coming because of the actions of prakriti. So when we see other people behaving, this continuation from the previous verse's theme, that if one can see others with spiritual vision, then one will not become devastated when the world seems to fall apart. So one will be able to see that beyond the world also there is a reality which and connecting with which will prevent one from becoming so totally shaken and shattered by the upheavals of the world. So here the point is, yes, things may change. So specifically, some person might act in an inimical way towards me, and I will definitely try to defend myself. If somebody is lusty and somebody approaches, forces oneself on someone. So now what is happening? Is that person responsible? Definitely that person is responsible, and that person needs to be punished. Definitely. There's no doubt about it. That's what a king would do, and that's what Lord Ram did to Ravana. But at the same time, one also recognizes beyond this, that this is lust. And material nature is inducing lust, and this person has become a puppet to the lust. And when we say it's a puppet, that doesn't mean that one is not responsible. No. This is not the kind of puppetry about which we are helpless. We induce, people themselves choose to become lusty, people themselves choose to become greedy, people themselves choose to become angry. But the point is that forgiveness is important for ourselves, because if we don't forgive, that resentment burns us. And one way we can forgive is by recognizing that beyond the actions of people are principles. And the principles are that there is material nature acting in particular ways. If we play with fire, we will get burnt. So if somebody fuels lust, that person will be overpowered by lust, and that person will act in bestial ways. That's how things are. Person will act in bestial ways. But similarly, here also the person is acting in bestial ways. Bestial ways means this person acts in horrible ways which need to be thoroughly punished. So the point is that if we want to see beyond the actions of this world, how do we do that? That we do by developing a Jnana Chakshu. These are the example which I gave you seem provocative. And the point here is definitely not to condone any crime by saying that the person is just a puppet of material nature. But the point is that there is a difference between the vision of a materialistic person and the vision of a spiritualist person. So, to take a less provocative example, you know, when we see ourselves becoming overcome by lust, then what do we do? You know, if we identify ourselves, oh, I am a lusty person, I can never gain control over myself, I am so fallen, I am so sinful, I am this, I am that. That means what is happening is we are identifying with our material nature, and we are thinking that our material nature is me. But actually, I am not my material nature. I am the soul. And the soul has an entirely different spiritual nature, which is to love and serve Krishna. So therefore, there is a huge, huge difference between my material and spiritual nature. And to the extent that I recognize it, to that extent I make spiritual advancement. And to that extent, I avoid karmic entanglement. So if I want to identify with the soul, then I have to understand, yes, I may have a sickness, I may have an infection, which is basically lust or greed or whatever, and that can make me behave in terrible ways also. But I have to understand that this is superficial to me. At my core, I am a pure soul, and there is a periphery which is impure, and that periphery can be removed. I certainly need Krishna's mercy for that, but it can definitely be removed, and that is what I should strive for. So when we see our own actions as products of material nature, that doesn't make us irresponsible. This is by no means meant to say, why did I become angry? My father was an angry person. Hey, father wouldn't have been an angry person. But that doesn't make either my anger right nor my father's anger right. You know, yes, certain genes may be there, certain influences may flow through the blood, but I have my capacity to make choices. So when we recognize our material nature, that enables us to distance ourselves. Yeah, everything that is happening is by material nature. Let me not get entangled in it. So it's the person who sees, yes, this is material nature, it will act in particular ways. But to the extent I emotionally identify it, to that extent I'll be dragged further and more extreme ways into it. And if I don't identify with it, then whatever are the movements of material nature, they won't get any further fuel. They may be done, but they will be done for the basic bodily needs. They will be done for whatever functions, there's a certain function for the body that has happened. When I eat, it has to digest. This is also prakriti vicha kriyamanani karmanani sarvashah. So I don't know how it happens. So it's not that we neglect bodily activities entirely. I need sleep, I will give myself sleep. But I won't obsess over them endlessly, thinking that they are the essence of life, that they are the goal and purpose of life. I'll recognize that this is ultimately, I have to go beyond these things. I have to recognize my own spiritual identity and live in relationship with that spiritual identity. So, by distancing ourselves from material nature, we will be able to make more steady spiritual advancement. So, let's look at the... So, because of desires, one is put into difficult circumstances to suffer or enjoy. Why are we put into difficult circumstances? Because of desires. We discussed earlier, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhungte. Because of Bhungte, there is Prakriti Stohi. And then there is Sadasadhyoni Yama. So, this is 13.22. So, when one sees things that are happening based on material nature, one gives up the desires. Now, this is further description. Now the focus shifting from matter to spirit and deeper focus on spirit. Yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekastham anupashyati tata eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada. Yada bhuta prithak bhavam. When one sees that there are many different bhavas, there are all the living entities are having their own different natures, but ekastham anupashyati, one sees that ultimately they are one. How are they one? They are all spirit. Then brahma sampadyate tada, then one has attained the Brahman situation, one has attained the transcendental position. Right. So here we can consider the example of the sun being expanded into many pots. Many of you may have seen that. How is sun expanded in many pots? As its reflection. We may have seen in the Bhagavad Gita picture of the super soul being present in various bodies, in various species. Super soul is there and the yogi is meditating and the heart super soul is there, but along with that there is a bird that is flying, and in the bird's heart super soul is there. There may be human beings who are approaching that yogi, and the human being's heart also super soul is there. And if the super soul is there, the soul is also there. So the evacha vistaram, that there is one particular super soul, one particular supreme being, from him everything is expanded. Other expansion of the super soul also, and the material and spiritual energy also. So, yada bhuta prithak bhavam. So, what we see is prithak bhava. We see all the various different natures. But go beyond this diversity of appearances to the consistency, the constancy of the substance. See beyond diversity of appearance to the constancy of substance. So, that is what ekastham anupashyati. Ekastham. See the one vision everywhere. And tata eva cha vistaram, and from there, okay, diversity has come about. The diversity has come about ultimately in the sanction of the Supreme Lord, and according to the desires of the living beings, according to their karma also. Such a person who can see like this, brahma sampadyate tada, such a person has attained the Brahman platform. The whole idea is, don't get captivated by the dualities of this world. see beyond the dualities to the higher realities. So Prabhupada talks about the various dualities in terms of we find someone demigod, someone human being, a dog, cat. This is material vision, not actual vision. So material vision is not actual vision. One has to go beyond this vision. And in the next verse, Krishna describes that, okay, how should one see the spiritual reality now? So he will give two significant words, karoti and lipyate, which will be illustrated in verses 33 and 34. So 32 in that sense is the root for 33 and 34 also. So anadityam nirgunatvat paramatmayam avyayah sharirasthopi kaunteya na karoti na lipyate. So first part of this verse describes the transcendental nature. Anadityam, anadi, as we know adi is beginning. So anadi is no beginning, that indicates eternal. So anadityam nirgunatvat, that is beyond the modes. So beyond time and beyond modes. That they, both the common emphasis is transcendental. Paramatma yam avyaya. So although the word param and atma come together, here the emphasis is not on paramatma, the super soul. It is param atma, the transcendental soul. Paramatma yam avyaya. So it's imperishable again. So anadityam refers to no beginning, avyaya refers to no ending. Imperishable. So in that sense, basically beyond time, beyond space, beyond modes, it's transcendental. So then we know that actually the soul is situated in the body. So shariirastho pi kaunteya. Shariirastho is situated in the body, but then a person who has that kind of vision, which has been described in the previous verses, na karoti na lipyate, such a person is not bound, such a person doesn't become entangled. So because the person doesn't act. So nakaroti is the person doesn't act only, and nalipyate is doesn't become bound. Nakaroti nalipyate. So how does this happen? That will be explained in the next verses. Just before we go to that, the emphasis of this verse is that the previous verses is saying 27 started with, okay, see that everything is a combination of matter and spirit. Then after that it says, okay, see that the spirit is common everywhere. But then your mind won't degrade you. That is 29th. And then 30th was, yes, see the oneness of spirit beyond the diversity of forms that we see over here. So then after that, 31st was talking about how, sorry, 30th was talking about how it is the soul that is a doer and the body is not the doer. And 31st was talking about that I see the sameness of substance beyond the appearance, variety of appearances. So now here it's talking, okay, if that soul is transcendental, if that soul is so completely different from the varieties that we see in this world, that although there is so much variety, the underlying substance is the same, then how does that interact with this? So that will be explained in the next two verses. But here it says that yes, it's transcendental, and because it's transcendental, beyond space, beyond time, beyond modes, therefore that doesn't that atma doesn't become entangled. So how does it na karoti na lipyate? So among these two, the foundation thought is first not entangled. And how can somebody not be entangled? Because that person is not doing action with selfish intention. So that will be illustrated in the next two verses. So first it says how the person is not entangled. How doesn't get entangled? So the word will be na lipyate. So ida bhuta prathak bhavam akasham nopalipyate sarvatra avasthito dehe tathatmanopalipyate. So yatha sarvagatam saukshmat. So sarvagatam, what is sarvagatam? The ether, akasha, is existing everywhere. Yatha sarvagatam saukshmat akasham nopalipyate. The ether is said to be everywhere, but the ether doesn't become contaminated. Na upalipyate. The ether remains always transcendental. Sometimes dirty. Sometimes winds filled with dirt may fly through the sky, but at that time the sky temporarily appears contaminated, but after that everything falls away and the sky remains as it is. Now the word akash cannot be very easily translated over here. This is given that akash can refer to sky, it can refer to ether. So you know, as we discussed earlier in our discussion based on 9.6, Tha Prakash, no, that was about how the whole, the wind flows within Akash but doesn't go beyond it. So, Sarvatra Gau Mahan Tha Sarvani Bhutani Matsthani Tyupadharaya. That was 9.6. Tha Akashastito Nityam Vayu Sarvatra Gau Mahan. So, Akashastito Nityam. There also the word Akash was used in terms of the sky. So it can refer to ether, it can refer to sky. Whichever way, the point is, so the both ways we can explain. Ether is said to be such a subtle substance that none of the grosser elements can contaminate it. But we can't think about ether, so we can also consider it in terms of sky. The sky is so big and so vast that wind keeps flowing through it. And sometimes there will be dirt in it, but that doesn't affect it permanently. So, sarvagatam saukshmya, Akash is present everywhere. But it doesn't affect, it doesn't get contaminated. Na upalipya tha sarvatra avasthito dehe. So similarly, the soul can be situated in different kinds of bodies. But tha atma na upalipyate. The atma will not become entangled. That means the point of this discussion is atma na upalipyate. The soul is maybe situated in an elephant's body, in a human body, in a child's body. And that body will have its own program by which it will behave to some extent in certain predefined and unchangeable ways. But within that also there is freedom. But the point here is not the relative freedom or non-freedom of the body. But the point here is that the soul is not affected. The soul is, even in the body of a fox or a monkey or whatever, so which are considered to be relatively low tamasic creatures, even there the soul is ultimately transcendental. And the soul is actually, just as the sky is not affected, similarly the soul is not affected. So this is in terms of not being entangled. Na upalipyate. After that, the next verse will describe na karoti. So yatha prakashayatyekah krishnam lokamimam ravi Kshetram Kshetri Yatha Kritsnam Prakashayati Bharata. Yatha Prakashayatyaikah Prakashayatyaikah. So there is one Ravi. Ravi is the sun. And what does that one Ravi do? Kritsnam Lokamimam Ravi. That it illumines the whole universe. Kshetram Kshetri Yatha Kritsnam. Similarly, the Kshetri, the Atma, illumines the Kshetra. Prakashayati Bharata. So here the point that is being made is that the sun, although is far away. Now one may say that okay, the ether, the sky doesn't affect the ether, the sky and may not mix with the ether, but our sky may not mix with the elements that are present in it. But then does the sky affect it? We say the sky doesn't affect it so much also. Sky is completely detached. But we see that spirit affects matter. So spirit affects matter in the sense that spirit causes changes in matter. How does it cause change? We see the six changes happen. Right now I am speaking. So there is growth that happens. The six changes, growth, maintenance, reproduction, all these things happen. So how do they happen? If the soul and matter are so entirely disconnected, then how do the two become connected? And how do they act together? This is a major philosophical question in Western philosophy. And actually, the inability to answer this question has what led to the exile of the soul from the mainstream intellectual circles in Western knowledge systems. But that is a different discussion here. The Vedic philosophy explains that actually there is a mediation that is done through the super soul. The super soul connects, and the super soul is the control of both matter and spirit. And the super soul enables the soul's desires to get transmitted and to have appropriate changes made in matter. But either way, the important point is that the soul is transcendental. Then how does a transcendental soul affect? So here the example is given for this, that the sun is far away from the earth. And the sun not only illumines, but it also activates. And as soon as the sun rises, the flowers start blossoming, the vegetation, the birds start chirping, and the whole vegetation comes alive. So how does this happen? This happens because of, there's a connection. But at the same time, is the sun responsible if some places there is positive growth and some places there is negative growth? Some places there are good crops that grow, some places weeds grow. The sun is not responsible. No. Karoti. There are factors over here which are certain seeds were sown here. That's why certain kinds of vegetation grew. So, na karoti na lipyate. What was talked about 2 verses ago, that is being further elaborated over here. That the soul illumines the body with consciousness. And that consciousness is what causes activity to happen in the world. Just as the sun illumines the universe with light. Now, of course, even in the Vedic culture, it is understood that the sun is not the only luminous source, and the higher planets are also illuminating. So here, Kritsnam refers to our known worlds. It doesn't necessarily refer to heavenly worlds. It's a contextualized example meant to illustrate a specific point. Then after this, Prabhupada emphasizes a well-known point that consciousness is not a product of the combination of matter. It is a symptom of the living entity. And then the last verse puts it all together. Kshetra kshetrajnyo revam antaram jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidur yanti te param. Yanti te param. As a person will attain the supreme destination. Who? That kshetra kshetrajnyo revam antaram jnana chakshusha. So Krishna has here, we see, put all the terms together in this last section. He has used Kshetra Kshetrajna twice. He used it in 27. Now he is using it again. And then he has used Prakriti Vacha Karmani. Prakriti also had used 30th. So now again Prakriti is coming. And then here he is also using the word Jnana. So Jnana, Gaya, Purusha, Prakriti, Kshetra Kshetrajna. These were the 6 topics. So Krishna is putting it all together. He says, with Jnana Chakshu, with the eyes of knowledge, the word Jnana Chakshu will come again in the 15th chapter and we'll discuss it there more. With the eyes of knowledge, firstly, understand the difference between Kshetra and Kshetrajna. And then after that, once you understand that there is something beyond matter, that is spirit, how can that spirit be liberated from matter? Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha. That, how can that be, moksha be attained? Once that is understood, then ye vidur, those who know this, yanti te param, they will attain the supreme destination. So now that process of liberation has been talked about briefly in verses 25 to 26, and it will be talked about again also later on. But Prabhupada explains that the purport of the chapter is that one should know the distinction between the body, the owner of the body, and the super soul. So kshetra kshetrajnyo revam antaram jnana chakshusha. And then Prabhupada summarizes the process of devotional service as the best way to know this. And the Bhagavad Gita's own flow of thought will lead to that conclusion later on. So now Krishna in the next chapter will talk about the 3 modes, because the modes have been used, have been talked about as that which cause bondage. That we'll discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.